Our reading is from Matthew 16. We'll be reading the first 12 verses of Matthew 16. Listen carefully to God's word. The Pharisees and Sadducees came up, and testing Jesus, they asked him to show them a sign from heaven. But he replied to them, "When it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning there will be a storm today, for the sky is red and threatening. Do you know how to discern the appearance of the sky, but cannot discern the signs of the times? An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and a sign will not be given it except the sign of Jonah." And he left them and went away. And the disciples came to the other side of the sea, but they had forgotten to bring any bread. Jesus said to them, "Watch out and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." They began to discuss this among themselves, saying, "He said that because we did not bring any bread." But Jesus, aware of this, said, "You men of little faith, why do you discuss among yourselves that you have no bread? Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets full you picked up? Or the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets full you picked up? How is it that you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread? But beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." Then they understood that he did not say to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. I'm going to give you the conclusion so you know where we're going and how each of the pieces fit toward that destination. This is the conclusion. Don't eat the leaven of the Pharisees, which is the hypocrisy of trusting in your own righteousness. Instead, eat the leaven of Christ, which is the integrity of trusting in his righteousness. The Pharisees were self-righteous, and it inevitably led to hypocrisy, because you cannot live up to your own inflated self-esteem. So, the context of this, we've had the feeding of the 4,000 in Matthew 15, is the place in Matthew. We have the demands of unbelief, which is them demanding a sign from Jesus because they didn't believe. They didn't ask for a sign so that they would believe. They asked for a sign because they didn't believe, and even if he gave them a sign, as he gave them many others, they would have rejected it as well. As a consequence of this, Jesus warns against the influence of the Pharisees in their self-righteous, hypocritical unbelief. And Jesus is saying to his disciples, don't go that way. Don't ingest that attitude and that unbelief. And he uses the figure of leaven because teaching of whatever kind, teaching has a powerful formative effect. We have to be careful. You are what you eat, and you are what you are taught. And so you have to be careful what you're taught and who teaches you. Because teaching has a formative influence, and the teaching of religious and political hypocrisy has great formative influence. There's a very interesting convergence among Matthew, Mark, and Luke. In Mark, in 8:15, he warns against the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. These are two different kinds of things. There's religious hypocrisy of preaching one thing and practicing another. There is political hypocrisy of promising one thing and doing something else. And they are very similar, but are distinct. In Matthew 16, he warns against the teaching of the Pharisees, the teaching, and in Luke 12, the it's most clear. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Beware of the teaching of the Pharisees and the Herodians, because it is and inevitably leads to hypocrisy. So, leaven. The thing about leaven is that you can't see it working, you can't hear it working. But when it comes to bread making, leaven is very much needed. Yeah, it's the old bread joke. Leaven is very much needed. Wow, you got it. Come on, wake up. Here we go. Ready? Here we go. Yeah. It's similar to what Jesus says in the parable of the seed. The farmer sows the seed, and he goes to bed, and it grows, and he doesn't know how it does that. Now, we can have many descriptions about the mechanics of germination and the growth of the seed, but in the end, there is a mystery to it that is unfathomable. And leaven is like that, and teaching is like that. You can't see it working. But it works. It is powerful, it is relentless, and it is transformative. In Matthew 13, in a very brief parable about leaven, verse 33, he spoke another parable to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 pecks of flour until it was all leavened. That may not sound like very much, but 3 pecks of flour is about 50 pounds of flour, and she hides just a little leaven in it, and it leavens the whole lump. And the teaching that you submit yourself to will affect your whole life. And if you listen to the teaching of the Pharisees and scribes and the Herodians, the religious and the political, your life will be leavened with hypocrisy. You will become like them. If you listen to their teaching, if you listen to certain cable channels, news channels, and I'm not going to name any, it will affect your life. There are certain people who spend their days watching certain news channels, and they become angry, isolated, vicious people. And they take bites out of their old friends. I have the scars to show it. They're still my friends, but they got sharp teeth. Now, this leaven can be for evil, and that's what the passages we're dealing with. And 1 Corinthians 5 speaks of the same thing with the man who was in the professing Christian who was involved in incestuous adultery. And Paul says, your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? If you don't deal with this person who is giving themselves over to immorality, you're going to fall into the same thing. This is going to touch your life. And how many times have we heard of congregations where there's been an instance of immorality and it just takes off like wildfire? One person after the next, one couple after the next. And that is the nature of sin, the nature of hypocrisy. It permeates everything around it. And, of course, Paul's talking about the Passover. Remove the Passover, remove the leaven from your house. And it's the idea of cutting off sin and removing sin from our lives, removing sin from our fellowship. The power of hypocrisy is evident in Galatians chapter 2, verse 13. Before the Jews came from Jerusalem, Peter was eating with the Gentiles, but when the Jews came, for fear of them, he withdrew from the eating with the Gentiles and was back into his old habits. And Paul says in verse 13, the rest of the Jews joined him in hypocrisy, with the result that even Barnabas was carried away by this hypocrisy. Barnabas, the son of encouragement, the one who was foremost in bringing Paul into the Christian fold, a man of great integrity, But when there was hypocrisy, he was easily and quickly sucked into it. And we must beware. One of the greatest dangers for us is not so much blatant and outward and screaming rebellion, but hypocrisy, pretending. The Christian principle is not fake it until you make it. It's make it. Make it. Don't fake it. The leaven of self-righteousness. And that's what this was. They were, and Paul says, you're not straightforward about the truth of the gospel. You're acting as if we are justified by our works, when what we preach is that we are justified by Christ's works. And the hypocrisy was acting one way and teaching something else. And we are all liable to it. Later in Galatians chapter 5, verse 9, he says, a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough. There's the power of it again. If you don't avoid it, it will eat you up. It will transform your life into hypocrisy. But leaven can also be for good. It is generally and most commonly a picture of the power of evil. But it also applies to the power of good and of righteousness. Matthew 13:33, he spoke another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three pecks of flour until all was leavened. The kingdom is like leaven. The power of the Holy Spirit is like leaven. And when you submit yourself to the scriptures, the Holy Spirit works in it to permeate your whole life in holiness and sanctification. So it's not just a picture of something bad. It's also equally a picture of something good. Let's, with that understanding of the picture, let's consider hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is a powerful influence for evil. Do not eat the leaven of the Pharisees and Herodians, because it is a powerful influence for evil and hypocrisy. The word hypocrisy combines a Greek preposition and a Greek noun, hupo, which means under, like hypodermic needle under the skin, and krites, which is crisis or judgment, under judgment. And the sense isn't so much that the hypocrite is under judgment, which that is true. But the situation with a hypocrite is that there's something hidden that needs to be discerned. Hypocrisy is, by its nature and definition, is hiding something. You can be hiding something bad, or you can be hiding something good. But something is hidden, and it takes discernment to figure out what that is. The usage of the word is just consistently that of pretending or playing a part. Actors in a play are hypocrites in the sense that they are playing a part that is not themselves, but they are playing the role of someone other than themselves. That's acting. And one of the dangers of acting is that people who do a lot of it forget who they are. They played so many roles, they don't know what their own life is like. And it becomes a problem. And it always involves covering up. An actor has to get in character. He has to cover up his own thoughts and his own person and manner of life and cover it with this character that he's portraying, that he's playing. And hypocrisy is playing a part. You're pretending to be something that you're not. And it's willful and intentional that you are misrepresenting yourself. When the Pharisees and Sadducees came to Jesus and tried to trap him, they started out with some tremendous, just over-the-top flattery. Mark chapter 12, verse 13. It would be Mark chapter 12, verse 13. Some of the Pharisees and Herodians, and in Mark, the Pharisees and Herodians, the church and state are all always together conspiring. And what they had in common was hypocrisy. They came to trap him in a statement. They came and said to him, "Teacher, we know that you are truthful and defer to no one, for you are not partial to any, but teach the way of God in truth. We're your friends. We're here to sit under your teaching." They have, they're playing a part of being friends when their true intention that's hidden is they're trying to trap him and destroy him. Is it lawful to pay poll tax to Caesar or not? If he says don't pay, he's in trouble with the Romans. If he says do pay, he's in trouble with the Jews. But he, knowing their hypocrisy, he discerned, and it wasn't terribly difficult, he discerned that how they presented themselves was not at all how they were. And that is the nature of hypocrisy. And he says, "Why are you testing me?" And it's interesting, they tested Jesus by demanding a sign. And he says, "Don't follow the hypocrisy." And now they're hypocrites by appearing to be one thing when there's something else. He says, "Why are you testing me?" Testing and hypocrisy go together. You have very often in the Psalms and the wisdom literature and the prophets, people who speak peace, but their heart is war. They speak friendship, and they seek your death. That's hypocrisy. Well, one thing about hypocrisy is that it is simply immoral. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And when you are a hypocrite, you bear false witness to yourself. You are saying, "I am this," when you are not that, but something else. And so it's a violation of the Ten Commandments. It is false self-witness. The usual hypocrisy that we think about is true doctrine masking a false life. You have someone who makes a profession of faith like the man in 1 Corinthians 5, but that profession and that appearance is masking a life of sexual perversion. And how often have we seen that in our own day? This is illustrated in the political sphere with the Herodians, true doctrine masking a false life, as in the congressman from Pennsylvania, a supposedly evangelical Republican who advocates for pro-family policies in his outward persona, while hidden, he's having an affair with a woman, not his wife, who conceives out of that affair, and then he pursues an abortion for this child conceived in his affair. In his appearance, he's pro-family, but in his life, he's a murderer and an adulterer. That's hypocrisy. But there's another kind of hypocrisy that we may not think about, and that is a true life that is masking false doctrine. You have the incident in Deuteronomy 13 with the prophet who is performing all these kinds of signs. In Deuteronomy 18, if he doesn't perform his signs, don't worry about him because he's not a prophet at all. You don't have to listen to him. But if he performs signs, then you have to listen to him. But you have to discern if the signs are true signs or false signs. Deuteronomy 13 sets the example of someone who has the appearance of a real prophet. But then in his hidden teaching, he says, "Come, let us follow other gods." So instead of true doctrine masking a false life, you have a true life masking false doctrine. Signs masking, "Let us follow other gods." And I think this is the difficulty that we have with Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses. Mormons routinely have a very faithful life. They are hardworking. They are true to their spouse. They are good parents. And that's the appearance that they give, is godliness. But hidden behind that is false doctrine. And Jehovah's Witnesses, my friend Aaron Gerner, always, he never says Jehovah's Witnesses. He always says Jehovah's false witnesses. And that is true. That is a good reference. Because if you know Jehovah's Witnesses, they, like the Mormons, routinely have a very well-ordered life. But behind it is false doctrine. That Jesus is not the second person of the Trinity. That the incarnation is false. And other errors. And so hypocrisy can be a true life masking, a true profession masking a false life, or a true life masking false doctrine. It can go both ways. There is, on the one hand, then, the leaven of self-righteousness which characterizes the Pharisees. And this self-righteousness was recently on display in Matthew chapter 15. They say one thing and then do another in their self-righteousness. So Matthew 15, verses 4 and following, Jesus says, God said, honor your father and mother, and he who speaks evil of father and mother is to be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father and mother, whatever I have that helped you has been given up to God, he's not to honor his father and mother. They present themselves in all of their religious ceremonies as achieving their own righteousness. But in achieving their own righteousness, by that very means, they contradict the law of God. So they give the appearance of righteousness, but hidden behind that is sin. Jesus has a long list of woes against the Pharisees, and the introduction throughout is, in all seven of these, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. They appear as righteous when in fact they are unrighteous. You make long prayers. They seem righteous. But you also devour widows' houses. You rip off widows of their resources, all that they have to live on, and you steal it. You give this appearance of righteousness when you are full of wickedness. Not only not taking care of widows, but ripping them off. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. You tithe mint, dill, and cumin, but you've neglected justice, mercy, and faithfulness. They give this appearance of being very punctilious in the fine points of tithing. They tithe everything that comes from the ground, including their spices, for crying out loud. But then, hidden behind that, they are totally unconcerned about justice, about mercy, and about faithfulness. They're hypocrites. And Jesus is saying, don't listen to them. Don't follow their teaching. Don't listen to their example. Their teaching is give to the church and you don't have to give it to help your parents. That's what they teach. That's what they practice. The third example. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but the inside you are full of robbery and self-indulgence. They give a godly appearance, but they are in the depths of ungodliness in secret. And Jesus says, don't listen to people like that. And this self-righteousness is the leaven of the Jews. But there's also the leaven of the Gentiles, which is unrighteousness. And we have that example in 1 Corinthians 5 of the man fallen into incestuous idolatry. You have the leaven of the Jews, self-righteousness, the leaven of the Gentiles, unrighteousness. You have the leaven of the right, self-righteous Republicans. You have the leaven of the left, unrighteous Democrats. So what are you going to do? We'll talk about that tonight. Yeah, you can answer me about all this tonight. That's what Lord's Day evening is for. Get back at the preacher. I talk in the morning, you talk at night. So come and have at it. Bring it on. And all of it comes from, guess who? The devil. How did it start out? The devil comes into the garden presenting himself as a friend to Adam and Eve. Did God really say that? Look at this tree. It's wonderful. It's good for food. It's desirable to make one wise. If you eat of it, you will be like God. I'm your friend. When in reality, he is seeking to destroy everyone and everything. Satan, by his nature and by all his actions, is a hypocrite. He promises you joy and blessing by sin. And then when you buy into that, he crushes and ruins your life. Don't eat that bread. Gave the example of the hypocritical Republican. Here's the hypocritical Democrat, not the evangelical Republican, but the Roman Catholic Democrat who professes personal opposition to abortion. That's his life. But then he pursues public funding of Planned Parenthood. That's hypocrisy. That's not clever politics. That's Herodian hypocrisy. Professing one thing, I'm opposed to abortion, and pursuing another, funding abortionists. Don't eat that bread. Well, there's another side, and that is integrity. The opposite of hypocrisy is integrity. Integrity is where what you see is what you get. What is preached is what is practiced. What is on the outside is also what is on the inside, where the inner and outer person is integrated into wholeness and not contradicted one to the other. And as the hypocrisy is caused by the devil, integrity is effected by the Holy Spirit. Remember the picture in Matthew 13:33, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven. And Jesus says, if I cast out demons by the Holy Spirit, know that the kingdom of God has come upon you. The kingdom of God is the power of the Holy Spirit effecting holiness in the people of God. And so the leaven of hypocrisy is ultimately the devil. The leaven of integrity is ultimately the Holy Spirit. Eat that bread. In Galatians 5, we have another indication of this. Galatians 5:9, a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough. And he's speaking about the Pharisaical hypocrisy where they, in their ceremonies, set themselves as self-righteous, but in their lives they are unrighteous. The leaven, he goes on later, he brings in the idea of the flesh. The flesh sets its desire against the spirit. The deeds of the flesh are evident, immorality, impurity, sensuality, and so forth. That is the leaven of hypocrisy, which asserts self-righteousness and actually is full of the flesh and all of its sins. But the leaven of the Holy Spirit produces the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, and so forth. I say, if you walk by the Spirit, you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. If you walk by the leaven of the Spirit, you will not be subjected to the leaven of the flesh and of the devil. The Holy Spirit is the one, is the leaven of integrity. This isn't a matter, hypocrisy, repenting of hypocrisy, is not a matter of changing ourselves. We can't do it. The issue of repenting of hypocrisy is submitting ourselves to the powerful and relentless work of the Holy Spirit, of having the Holy Spirit hidden in our hearts and leavening our lives. That's the answer. Not trying to make your, not trying to live up to your self-righteousness, not trying to live up to your inflated self-esteem. You can't do it. And the Pharisees prove that the harder you try, the more hypocritical you become. Because you keep presenting yourself as righteous, and you can never live up to that, so you keep covering up. And you spend all your time pretending, and none of your time repenting. Self-righteousness is inevitably hypocritical. You can't win that game. So how does the Holy Spirit do it? How does the Holy Spirit go about leavening our lives with holiness and working out in us the righteousness of Christ that we have by grace and through faith? 1 Peter chapter 1. Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love that is an unhypocritical. That word is, you'll see it, sincere or genuine in many passages, and it is in the original the negative of hypocrisy, the opposite of hypocrisy, integrity, with the love of integrity, not of hypocrisy. Purified your loves for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently one another from the heart, because you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is the living and enduring word of God. That the Holy Spirit, as leaven, takes the word of God and hides it in our hearts and produces holiness in us and integrity that is true and real. The Holy Spirit is the only one who can overcome hypocrisy. The Holy Spirit is the only one who can produce integrity in you, and he does it primarily by the word of God. Christian school kids sing a song that involves Psalm 119. I have hid your word in my heart that I would not sin against you. Hiding the word in the heart is one example, one means of Matthew 13. The woman hid leaven in the lump until the whole 50 pounds of dough was leavened. When we, by the power of the Spirit, hide the word in our hearts, it leavens our whole life, our thinking, our speaking, our acting, our desires. It changes everything. And it is relentless. You put the seed in the ground, you water it, and you walk away. You don't have to keep looking, digging it up and say, what's going on? And when you hide the word in your heart, you don't have to figure out how it works. You just have to know that it does. Our OEA meeting last week, one of the pastors was saying that his wife had a tendency to mysticism. And he was somewhat concerned about that. And the extremes of mysticism I can understand. But that's what this is. God works in ways that you can't discern, you can't figure out. They're secret. It's like leaven. You don't see it working. You don't hear it working, but it works, and you can tell from the results that it's working. So everyone who's a Christian is a mystic to that level. You plant the seed and it grows, you don't know how. You hide the word in your heart and it changes your life and you don't know how. It's the same with the sacraments. What do the sacraments do? They picture, they promise the removal of sin and the gift of righteousness. What is that in this context? The sacraments promise us that as we look to God through the sacraments, he will take out the old leaven and put in the new leaven. Take out the leaven that produces hypocrisy and put in the leaven that produces integrity. And so the Holy Spirit, as he uses the word to leaven our lives, he uses the sacraments to leaven our lives. Also prayer. The Holy Spirit is the one who helps us to pray. And so also with prayer, it is leaven for integrity against the leaven of hypocrisy. And so you have that very familiar passage in Matthew 6, part of the Sermon on the Mount. It says, beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. That's the hypocrite. Look at me. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father in heaven. And then verse 5, when you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites who make a big show of praying. in public. And that's pretty much all the praying they ever do. But he says in verse 5, do not be like the hypocrites. They love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward. And in verse 7, when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, because they think that they will be heard for their many words. But when you pray, don't go in public, go in private. Don't use many words, use few words. Don't pretend to be something great. Be what you are, something small, and talk to God in private. Don't pretend to be one thing and be something else. Be what you are. Pray in private and simply ask for what you want. And lastly, fellowship. The Holy Spirit is the one who baptizes us into the visible church, makes us a part of that body, and sanctifies us in the fellowship of the church. Because it's in the church that when we sin, we're called on the carpet for it. We're not left alone. That when the leaven of hypocrisy gives its aroma, people don't leave us in our sin, but they come to us and they call us to repentance. They remove. The Holy Spirit uses the fellowship of the church to remove the old leaven. Even if it involves removing you from the church. But also, that's 1 Corinthians 5 and 2 Corinthians 2, that when God does work repentance, we receive back the new leaven in fellowship. And so, once again, it's the means of grace that the Holy Spirit uses, but the point here is the Holy Spirit is the leaven that produces integrity, and he produces it by hiding the word in our hearts, the sacraments, prayer, and fellowship. That's how he does it. And so we submit ourselves in the ordinances of worship and to the means of grace publicly and privately so that the Holy Spirit will leaven us with the righteousness of Christ. Eat that bread. So, don't eat poison. Don't eat the leaven of the Pharisees, which is the hypocrisy of self-righteousness. Don't eat the leaven of unbelief, human tradition, and hypocrisy. Instead, eat the leaven of faith, scripture, and integrity. Ask Jesus, these are just a couple of final applications. Ask Jesus to expose and correct your hypocrisy. When the Pharisees and Herodians came to Jesus and presented themselves as friends when they were really enemies, Jesus saw right through them. That's a good thing. It's a good thing. And we need to ask Christ, by his Spirit, to see through us and to see all the ways that we are being hypocrites when we are playing a part instead of living a life. And he will use it by the word. The word pierces to the separation of bone and marrow, to the very tightest things, to the subatomic particle. And the Holy Spirit will use the word that as you submit yourself to the scriptures, he will show you yourself and he will show you your hypocrisy. In the sacraments, in prayer, in fellowship, you ask Jesus, show me my hypocrisy, and he will do it. And it will be painful. But there is pain before healing. Ask Jesus through the means of grace to show you your hypocrisy and to give you his integrity. Item D. I can't be forceful enough. There is nothing more dangerous for us. There is nothing more dangerous for me and for you than hypocrisy. We are not in great danger of completely bailing out of the Christian faith and life. But we are in great danger of falling into traps and pretending to be faithful when we are actually unfaithful. How many times have you heard of professing Christians addicted to pornography? That's hypocrisy. And we are in great danger of it. Here are two examples. Beware of the leaven of self-righteous publicity. This is the hypocrite who says, look at me, look at me, look at all the good things I'm doing. Don't look at all the bad things I'm doing back here. Look at me and all the good things I'm doing. Look at me. This is the Pharisees. Look at me, I'm praying. Look at me, I'm giving alms. Look at me, I'm fasting. And all behind is sin and rebellion. How much are we tempted to do that? And you're all pointing fingers right now. And that's the second hypocrisy. You have the one hypocrisy of the self-righteous publicity, and then you have the other hypocrisy of self-righteous severity. Self-righteous publicity is, look at me for all the good things I'm doing. Don't look at all my sins. And the hypocritical severity is, look at them and all the bad things they're doing so that you don't look at all the bad things I'm doing. Hypocrite, take the log out of your own eye before you go pointing at the speck in somebody else's eye. Hypocrisy is pervasive. It's everywhere in our lives, individually and corporately. We make too much of what we're doing that's good, and we make too little of what other people are doing that's good. We make too much of the bad things that other people are doing and too little of the bad things we're doing. It's hypocrisy. It's evil. Stop it. That's what I say to myself. Stop it. The point is this. Don't eat the leaven of the Pharisees, which is the hypocrisy of trusting in your own righteousness. The parable that Jesus gave about those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised everyone else. Instead, eat the leaven of Christ, which is the integrity of trusting in his righteousness. Trusting in your own righteousness is self-destructive hypocrisy. Trusting in Christ's righteousness is self-edifying integrity. Don't trust in your own righteousness and be a hypocrite. Trust in Jesus and have integrity. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you expose us to ourselves by your word, sacraments in prayer and in fellowship. We thank you that when we fall into hypocrisy, you don't leave us there, but you challenge us. And Lord, please make us dread hypocrisy as we should, and to hear your stern warning, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Lord, deliver us and remove from us all the leaven of hypocrisy, and in Christ give us all the good leaven of integrity in his righteousness alone. In his name we pray. Amen.